All right, now, you're listening to the Real Texas Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Bronan, just a fed-up taxpayer, bringing you all of your Texas local and national news. Welcome to the Real Texas Radio Podcast. I am Bronan, your host. Thank you for tuning in once again to the Real Texas Radio Podcast. Or if you are joining the show for the first time, 1,000 welcomes. Please make sure to like, subscribe, and follow from wherever you're streaming. And you can also follow the Real Texas Radio Podcast on X at RTR_Bronan. Remember, I tweet out most of the stories and videos and sound cuts that I reference on the show. So that's a great place if you want the visual along with the audio. So I've got a lot to talk about today, per usual. I'm going to talk about bum stories later on in the show. And I think I've got a Jasmine Crockett story. And I want to talk about the bond election that's going to be occurring next month in Richardson regarding the school district. They want to raise the property taxes for the schools. It's for the children. It's all for the children. Dallas wants to do the same thing. Huge bond. But I think that's going to be in next year's election. But first, I want to talk about this story that was out of Plano, Texas. And it's just been getting some heat in October. It's been reported in the local media, but I'm going to be referencing the Dallas Express's version of the story. So I'll give you the short version, and then I'll play the cut. But essentially, back in July, there was a woman who happens to be an independent journalist and influencer on X and other social media. Her name's Brianna Morello, and she actually used to work for Fox, and I think she was fired, or she was forced to resign out of there because she wouldn't take the COVID hoax farce, a vaccine, the crapsination.
You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Sure, Jan.
Yeah, so Brianna Morello, she's got a big following on Twitter, well over 300,000 followers. I wasn't familiar with her before this story, but she's walking her dog. It's the middle of the day, and a man starts following her or running behind her, and she's nearly to her apartment, and she doesn't see the guy, and then she opens up the door to her apartment building or one of the side doors, and the guy runs in behind her and starts following her. And she, well, I'll let you hear her version of events, but we got a mugshot of the guy. He was ultimately arrested, and you know, he's not a bad looking guy, in my opinion.
We've all been a little gay, man. That's not even that wild anymore.
Hey, none of that. But no, that's not excusing any of this abhorrent conduct. But it looks like this man is an adherent of the religion of peace, of course. And you know, I'm not going to get into too much Israel and Palestine, but you probably saw that Israel and the IDF, they're retreating out of Gaza, and there's allegedly a peace deal. And all over the internet on Tuesday is a video circulating of not the IDF, but other Palestinians, Gazans, whatever the hell they want to call themselves, young men, they got their faces covered, of course. I haven't heard any of the Democrats screaming for these savages to uncover their face. And I'm calling these particular groups savages because they've got the big guns, AKs, or whatever the hell they've got. And they're beating and torturing other men who are part of a rival sect or whatever they got over there. They aren't friendly with Hamas, which is trying to just recapture Gaza and control the strip. And they want to just return to their regularly scheduled programming of, you know, murdering and killing and not having equal rights for women and all of that. But just the irony, they kick out the alleged genocidal, demonic satanic IDF in Israel. And then immediately they round up a bunch of Palestinians, fellow Palestinians, and they execute them publicly, and then which obviously promotes terror, an act of terror. They execute them after beating them savagely, tying their hands. And you know what? It's no wonder that no other neighbor, none of the Muslim neighbors want Palestine anywhere near them. You know, 2 years ago, the October 7th massacre, whatever you want to call it, what was the first thing Egypt did, which has a 7-mile border wall, a 7-mile border wall with the southern border of Gaza? The first thing they started doing, they started building another wall around the wall because they were terrified that the wall was going to be breached and that there was going to be a flood of these Palestinians coming in. Jordan won't take them. Lebanon won't take them. Nobody wants this group. And that's all I'm really going to say about that. But I just wanted to point that out. And anyway, so this guy, I don't know what this guy is, whose name is Harvey Malik Barsum. I have no idea anything about him. But Brianna Morello is going to give us here her version of events. I'll play a little bit of her explanation. And it runs a few minutes, so I won't play the whole thing, but you'll get some of it.
Do you recognize this man? Because he followed me into my apartment complex on July 9th. And I just recently obtained the surveillance footage. Take a look at this. I'm walking into my apartment complex in Plano, Texas. I'm walking across the street with my dog and we're going to a secure door where you actually need a fob to get in. Now that's when you'll notice that there's a man running behind me and I don't notice it because he's not saying anything or yelling at me. But then when I turn to the side, he goes from running to walking because I believe he doesn't want to come off as a threat. Then he grabs the door quickly, and when I'm inside, he says, "Excuse me, excuse me." I say, "What?" And he says, "I want to pet your dog." I tell him to get out because he doesn't live there. I tell him this twice. And instead of leaving, he's now following me up the stairs. Now I have to defend myself because there's obviously something very wrong with the situation because he's not leaving after I instructed him to get out. So when he realizes I'm getting ready to defend myself, you'll notice he runs for the back door because, well, that's probably the smartest thing he's done all day.
And you know what? I'll actually pause there. And Brianna Morello, she's being very smart about this, and she's not explicitly saying that she had a firearm with her, but I believe that she carries a gun, and I believe she showed this guy the gun, and you can see him in the video, runs out the door. And but she obviously, because of this legal situation and how public it's become, she wants to be safe. But this was a perfect example of how a gun committed a peaceful act and was able to save somebody from a potentially threatening situation. I'm going to read a little bit of the article too. I think this guy was engaged. I think he's engaged and he's chasing a woman into her apartment to pet her dog, which is, you know, something that I think he's actually Egyptian and you know, Muslims and dogs, you know, that's a group that really loves dogs. Sorry, stereotypes. Check my archetypes and biases.
He runs and he sprints across the street and then he's off camera. Now, given my career, given the fact I go after murderers, sex offenders, and I'm also someone exposing government corruption, I have to be deeply, deeply concerned when I have an incident like this. So I contacted the Plano police. They sent an officer to my home where they took down a police report. And in that report, they described the suspicious person as a Middle Eastern man in his late 20s or early 30s. Now, sadly, the officer goes on to say that this is a man who's likely just trying to flirt with Morello. Now, obviously, that's deeply concerning because that's not flirting to any adult human. They understand that that's, again, not how two adults interact. A man wouldn't chase you into your apartment.
All right. And, you know, I'm going to let it go there. You kind of get the idea. But there's been a lot of news in the last year, and I've covered it a little bit, of Texan citizens showing up to various city council meetings in Collin County, which is where Plano is, but other areas of Collin County as well, and claiming that, or pointing out rather, that there's a ton of Muslims who are moving into the area. And Richardson, which is a suburb that also borders Plano and borders Dallas, they just elected a Muslim mayor. And there are a lot of Muslims who live in Richardson. I was trying to look up the population, and it says that in all of DFW, there's... This has to be wrong. I was looking at AI, so I wouldn't be surprised if it's wrong. But DFW, 120,000 Muslims total. That seems crazy. Dallas County, which does include Richardson, has 60,000. But presumably a lot of these Muslims have to live in Dallas proper and not Richardson. I don't know. So I think I read that in all of Collin County. But again, this is going back to 2020, which is 5.5 years ago, 6 years ago, when that data was relevant, if it was accurate at all, saying that 2% of Collin County is Muslim. And the gist of it is the Muslims will buy up these vast tracts of land, hundreds of acres, and they set up single family cookie cutter planned developments, but they throw a school and a mosque in there and turn it into an HOA and get all the HOA fees to support the mosque and the school, which is obviously going to be an Islamic religious school. And then if you want to live in the community, you have to apply and you have to be approved, presumably by the HOA. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of Jews, Catholics, and atheists, let alone Christians, trying to move in there. But it sounds like the Plano police were really trying to give this guy a good leaving alone. So I'm just going to read, I'm not going to read the whole article. You got the gist of the story. So let's jump down here. A Plano police officer responded to Morello's apartment, interviewed her about the incident. He took a report, suggested Barsoom was just flirting. After the initial interview, Morello expressed concerns that she did not hear anything else from Plano police. Again, this was back in July, about the investigation until after she posted surveillance footage that went viral on August 25th. And by the way, she had a threat to sue to get this surveillance footage. The building didn't want to give her the footage. It sounds like the Plano police weren't cooperating and trying to help her and trying to apprehend this predator. Plano police sergeant told Morello that officers identified Barsoom on August 26, interviewed him the next day. Barsoom reportedly told the officers he fled because he thought Morello had a gun, which she previously declined to comment on. So, yeah, he fled because she had a gun, not because she told him, get out of my building, get out of my building. No, he needed the gun. So this is the kind of person you're dealing with. He wanted to talk to you, introduce himself, because he was attracted to you. He jogged across the street as you were going into the building, used the dog as an intro to try to have a conversation, the sergeant told Morello. He admitted that he was too forward, which was clear on the video. Have you ever chased somebody into their private apartment building and then they told you to get out and you don't? Have you ever done that? I can't think of a time that I've done that, but I don't know. You know, again, I don't know if it's with certain groups or, you know, certain people that, you know... I don't know, but... Ugh. So apparently now, well, I think the position of the Plano Police Department is this guy didn't commit any kind of a criminal act, and that Morello should just get over it, and this guy was just trying to flirt with her, and I guess she should feel special, or she should be thrilled about that, getting chased into a building, her home, getting chased into her home. But because the video has gone viral on social media, and there's another account, I don't have it up in front of me now, but I think it's a former Muslim woman, and she's based in Texas, and she exposes a lot of this Muslim invasion and these tactics of the HOAs, the Muslim planned community HOAs that are popping up all over Texas. Greg Abbott has commented on this, the governor of Texas. The AG, Ken Paxton, he has commented on this. Big, tough tweets about we're not going to let it happen in this state. Yeah, sure. Yeah, right. And, you know, this isn't Dallas, which is obviously a liberal, just intellectual, barren wasteland when it comes to, you know, a crime like this. And it's just all about sensitivity and DEI special treatment. to certain people. But Collin County would be a lot more conservative now, so it's surprising that this is going on. But there's a lot of Muslims in Plano, just like there are a lot of Muslims in Richardson and elsewhere in Collin County. All right, I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next story. Okay, let's talk about the school districts. I'm going to start with Dallas ISD before I move on to Richardson. But both independent school districts are planning for bonds to pass. Richardson, within the next early voting starts, I think in a week or so, or maybe 10 days for in Texas for the November election. And if they pass the bond in Richardson, it will increase property taxes by 4 cents on the $100 valuation. Doesn't sound like much. It ends up being like $11 a month or $125 a year for the average home. Now, the average home in Richardson is worth more, I believe, valued higher than the average home in Dallas, or the median home, $500,000 they reckon, which I believe. And you know, the first thing that I look at, and you know, details, they're a little bit more developed in Richardson than they are in Dallas. But the first thing I look at is how much of the bond is going towards football. And I don't have the number up right in front of me. I'll pull that up. But it, of course, renovating turf at the football stadiums. They're gonna open a new credit card, basically, to renovate the turf at two of the football arenas, or the football stadiums, rather, that they own. I think the middle and high schools, four of them share these stadiums. And, you know, if you look around at a lot of the spending, this certainly is happening in higher ed at the universities and the colleges. It's football, it's gyms, it's amenities. And in Dallas, they want to open, or they want to renovate something like 29 schools. Now, the population in Dallas independent school districts, it's dropped 13 or 15% in a decade. And they are just spending wildly. 25% of the budget in Dallas, and I think they've got like a $2 billion general fund, but 25% of the budget goes towards servicing debt from prior bonds. And when you hear the word bond, you know it's just a synonym for tax. And it's also a synonym for just opening up a new credit card with a high interest rate that takes many, many years to pay back. And typically, before they pay back one bond, they're on to the next one, or they're on to the third one, or they're on to the fourth one. And that seems to be the case here. Now, the last bond that Dallas ISD was able to pass, which I believe they did with close to 0% of the eligible voter population, it was the largest bond in state history for a school. I think it was like 3.4, or they were looking for $3.7 billion. A couple of items were rejected, but most of it was passed, $3.4 billion. And now, Stephanie Elizalde, she's the superintendent with the Hollywood contract, who makes well over $300,000 a year. And, you know, if they got rid of her, I'm sure she'd probably walk out the door with $500,000 in severance. But she's looking for over $6 billion now for this bond, and she's hoping to get it on either the May election, which she'd probably prefer that, with, again, close to 0% turnout for the off-season election in the spring, or get it on the 2026 November ballot. And so right now she's in the process of doing the community meetings, and she talked to the Dallas Morning News. She gave them a few comments. But one of the items that they discuss heavily in this article, even though it only represents about $20 million out of the over $6 billion, is housing for teachers. Because I guess in Austin, Texas, the independent school district has bought up a tract of land, and they're paying for housing for teachers because, it's too expensive. We have a housing shortage, housing crisis, which every politician, regardless of their political affiliation, is echoing this fake, phony, baloney lie scam that we have a housing crisis in Texas. And you know what? I you know, I used to work in Dallas ISD. I was a teacher there for 4 years, and I was a teacher in Mississippi for 3 years before that. And, you know, I managed to pay my rent without looking for handouts and welfare and Section 8. And, you know, I got a roommate. Oh, I had to tough it out. I had a roommate. A lot of teachers, they don't even live in Dallas. They live in Collin County. They live in Duncanville. They live in Mesquite. They live outside of Dallas proper. So this is just a complete hoax. And I'm going to be voting no, voting it down the whole way. And sure, I'll write my school board trustee, who I'm sure will give my email quickly get it over into the trash bin spam folder, put me on the naughty list. But you know what she goes? Here's some quotes from Elizalde. "Part of my role as the superintendent is to make sure that I don't allow really great ideas to become new missions of an agency." Okay, well, that's good. "My primary role is to first and foremost serve students." Serve students. So you want to take out $20 million to become the Section 8 program for Dallas. You want to subsidize housing for... And how many teachers do you think you're going to fit in $20 million worth of housing? Is that what the mission of a school is? I thought it was to teach kids to read. I thought it was to teach kids to do math and science and God forbid history. We know that's out the window. And, you know, you look at the stats, the demographics of Dallas ISD, 50% has low or limited English proficiency. Limited English proficiency. So, and you already know there's going to be a stadium. There's going to be all kinds of sports and arts and all of this in the budget that they're going to put on the credit card. And then you, the taxpayer, are going to be footing the bill. And then next year, they'll be looking to raise the tax rate. They'll try to not do it this year, but they'll do it in the following year. Because if they're spending 25% of their operating dollars or their budget paying back the old debt, how much are they going to have to spend in order to service the new debt while they're still paying off the old debt? It's so ridiculous. It is just so ridiculous. And what do you think? Do you think the reading scores are better now than they were 10 years ago, 15 years ago? No, of course not. They're not better anywhere. There's no reading going on. There's no knowledge of history. The only thing kids know about from history, or they know next to nothing about it, but they know the name Hitler, and they can probably tell you something about the Holocaust. That's it. That's the only thing they know about history. And maybe they've heard about slavery, and they probably couldn't tell you much about that either. That's it. And it's just infuriating. And you're going to just foot the bill. You don't have the option, in many cases, to just open a new credit card with whatever you want. So Stephanie Elizalde, she's putting together, she's calling it a wish list. A wish list. Oh, we're looking for $6.5 billion, but we'll take four. We'll take $4 billion if we can get. We'll take whatever we can get, but we're going to try to go for the full $6 or $6.5 billion, whatever we can get. You know what? And obviously, you can't hide these numbers from the public, even as neglectful and stupid and uncaring as most of the public is on this particular issue. You can't hide the numbers. So, you know what? All of these vendors, all of these, whether they've got software they're trying to sell the district or they're contractors who'd like to put up the new football stadium or get the repair contract, they know exactly what's in the budget. They're going to study it very closely. And they're going to know, they've got $50 million for this stadium. We're going to try to get every dollar of the $50 million. As opposed to, if you're an ordinary person and you're trying to get a repair done in your house, you don't tell the contractor how much your budget is. If you have a $10,000 budget, you don't tell them, oh, I've got $10,000. How much is it going to cost to redo the bathroom? And you think they're going to tell you it's going to be $4,000 if you've got $10,000? I don't think so. I don't think so. That's not how it works. So you get screwed to the max on this issue. And it's for the children.
Oh, somebody please think of the children.
Okay, I got to move on. I just infuriated myself with that story. But Let's talk about, we've got some bum stories before I move on, perhaps, to Jasmine Crockett, if there's time.
Your story's sad to tell, but ne'er-do-well. Most mixed up, delinquent, on the blind.
Yeah, so I got an update. You know that a few weeks ago there were two murders associated with the DART, the public transit here in Dallas, specifically the light rail. And there was a Marine Corps vet who was murdered. He told a homeless junkie bum, criminal vagrant, mental patient, ne'er-do-well, recidivist reprobate to get off the train, as if that was going to do any good. And the guy shot him to death, shot him three times. And he's arrested, and wouldn't be surprised if they're working on getting him declared mentally incompetent so they can get him back out in the street again. And then not even a week later, just a few stops away, there was another shooting. And we got some more details about the killer here, who happened to be, he was wearing a Jason-style mask, hockey mask, and yeah, Jason style mask. And let's talk about the gun that he had. 27-year-old who was charged in connection to a deadly shooting on a DART train on Sunday. This was early in October. Wearing a Jason style hockey mask, committed the crime. The shooting happened around 7 p.m. Sunday at the DART Pearl Arts District station in downtown Dallas. Harrington Andrew Hurdle was arrested and charged with murder. And let's see if we got any more details about him. Why are they hiding the news about the gun that he had? I believe he had an assault rifle. And it's out of control. And I don't want to judge the guy on his appearance, but if you just look at the eyes, my God, it's hard to tell if he looks scarier with or without the mask when you look in the eyes. But just another mental patient. He'll be declared incompetent, and they'll probably give him his gun back and return him out to the streets, and we'll all be very safe, and downtown Dallas will continue on its decline again. And, you know, another program I'll talk about quickly, but Dallas apparently was running a night court. And again, it was specifically for the homeless, junkie bum, criminal vagrant, mental patient, ne'er-do-wells who deserve absolutely nothing and get absolutely everything. So they set up this night court, and it was supposed to be, I think, once a month. They shut it down after 4 months, and basically the program was they'd have a judge or a magistrate, and they'd have some court staff, and the homeless, junkie bum, criminal vagrant, mental patients who had outstanding warrants, and let's face it, that's probably about every single one of them, because homelessness is just a synonym for being a criminal. They could go in into a safe space and not be intimidated by the court that they're so familiar with. And they could get their warrants cleared up, resolved. And there were also, services like rehab and mental health counseling and all of this. And there were, do you know how many people? They didn't understand it, and I tried to make them see. One is only poor, only if they choose to be. How many people do you think took advantage of this wonderful taxpayer-funded service? In total, there were 39 people. And the professional excuse makers claimed that 4 months wasn't enough time to pilot the program, and the homeless operate typically by word of mouth, so if they just had more time with the night court, then it would have really worked out, and it would have helped a lot more of these people. And then guess what? So they'd have like 6 people would show up to the night court that was open all day, or from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the library or another municipal building. And then they'd get them to sign up for a house or mental health counseling or rehab or whatever they want, because anything that the bums want, they get. And in return, they will punch you in the face and harass you on the train. And they will make walking around your neighborhood uncomfortable and panhandle in the median and throw trash around and have a complete mental patient, psychopathic meltdown in the street and create decline in your neighborhood. But they get everything in return. And then they just drop out of the counseling, or they drop out of the rehab. They don't go. And again, I'm, that's your fault. The professional excuse makers, they've got a reason for why they couldn't fulfill the rehab, why they couldn't go to the counseling sessions for free. You've probably thought about counseling, but you don't have the money for it, and you have an HMO that's not going to cover the whole thing. So who cares? What a disgrace the whole situation is. Baby, get moving. Why keep your feeble hopes alive? What are you proving? You got the dream. Time for Crack Island. Time to open up Crack Island. Dallas County Commissioner's Court, Dallas City Council, Governor Greg Abbott, everybody should be doing everything they can to get Crack Island open. Oh, I got another story while we're on the subject of homeless, junkie, bum, criminal, vagrant, mental patient, ne'er-do-wells. This is out of Austin. You know, there are a few accounts that I follow on X, and they just track what's going on in the public transit. So here in Dallas, we've got the DART. They've got CAP Metro in Austin. And there was a woman who was sexually harassed on the train. And let's go ahead and listen to just a couple of minutes. Hold on 1 second here. Let me get the cut. So she's very nervous, this woman. She's calling into the public comment period. I don't know if this is the CAP Metro board or it's not the city council, but it's probably the CAP Metro board of directors meeting. So let's just go ahead and play a few minutes and tell me if this sounds familiar to you.
Can I just start whenever? This is my first time speaking at a board meeting and my first public speaking in quite a while.
Now we can hear you, and you're free to start whenever it suits you.
Okay. Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Stephanie, and I am here to share my experience as a daily rider of Metro. I rely on the bus system to get to and from work, as well as bringing my son to school. Right now, taking CAP Metro, I feel unsafe, unsupported, and at risk of losing my job because of the conditions of that's with the buses, as well as I'm gonna calm down in a second.
She's getting very upset and emotional because of what happened.
Doing great. Recently, thank you. So last week I was harassed by a man on one of the buses while it was crowded. I was able to remove myself from the situation, but when I spoke to a bus driver about it the following day, instead of being given any safe reporting options, I was told that I should have reported it right then and there, and he questioned why I didn't do that. It left me feeling blamed instead of protected, and, like, at the end of the day, like, I still, like, did not get any resolution as to, like, how to report that. And what had happened was a man came on the bus when I was sitting on the 801, and he came in. He was wearing yellow hospital socks, slippers, and a robe. And despite there being open seats, he stood over, I would say, very closely to me with each hand on the railing supporting himself. I scanned the room, and was, I'm always watchful on the bus and cautious of people. He went under his robe and went into his pants and was moving back and forth in a manner that was consistent with some kind of lewd behavior, like indecent exposure. It made me extremely uncomfortable, and I felt trapped in the moment.
Yikes. That talk about, like, that's almost your worst nightmare. I mean, it's obviously not the worst case scenario. The worst case scenario is a homeless junkie, bum, criminal, vagrant, mental patient, ne'er-do-well approaches you with a Jason-style mask and an assault rifle and shoots you to death. That's the worst, but oh my God.
Cops.
Ugh. So it's just awful. And this has gone on. This is everywhere. This is all the public transit. In the United States, it's New York. If you're not getting thrown in front of the moving subway car as by a homeless junkie bum, criminal, vagrant, mental patient, you're a woman. And obviously we know they love to target women and children and the elderly, punch them in the face. And I don't understand.
Only a mentally disabled person could have allowed this to happen to our country.
Yeah, ICE, I wish that we had ICE for the homeless. I'd love to see ICE round up all of the homeless and just get them the hell out of our cities. Dump them on Crack Island. They won't be missed. Everyone will be smiling. We'll all be thrilled. Your downtown will improve by 1,000% instantly. And it would just be so much better for everybody if these people were gone. Or why don't we move them to Gaza? It sounds like pretty similar what's going on over there. They'd fit right in. They'd blend right in over there. All right. I am Bronan. Thank you for tuning in once again to the Real Texas Radio Podcast. Keep tuning in. Keep listening. Maybe I'll get to Jasmine Crockett next time. But follow me on X at RTR_Bronan, RTR_Bronan.